Blog Talk Radio.
Now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Welcome to the war room. We got Deb, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, War Room family? We are back. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the new War Room Sports Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm joined at the round table by my brothers, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin. What's up, fellas?
Yo.
Maybe I'm not joined by those dudes.
Dame will forever be one of the greatest rappers of all time for that intro.
Yo.
No doubt.
Chillin' the brother, man. Y'all ready?
Theme music. Every good hero should have one. But look, man, the NBA playoffs are underway, and it's been a little crazy so far, so we're going to talk about that. Before we do that, though, we got a lot of other topics to discuss, so make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. So you can join in on the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline in about 30 minutes. And that number is 323-410-0012. Do yourself a favor during the week and visit WRSPN.com. That's the War Room Sports Podcast Network. And again, that URL is WRSPN.com. Or you can just go to our main site, WarRoomSports.com, and listen to some of the best talk radio that the Internet has to offer. Sports, lifestyle, culture, entertainment, and more. The War Room Sports Podcast Network has it all, and that's the place to be every day during the day. Makes your day go by quicker. You can hear shows such as the Broad Street Line, Sports Trap Radio, the Gaffer and Hooligan Soccer Podcast, and so much more. So make sure you get over to the network and check them out. And in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, as usual, on FatsRadio.com. That's P-H-A-T-Z, pretty hot and tempting, radio.com. What's good, generals?
Man, listen, man, you know, just trying to stay out of trouble, you know. Some of these JoJo nominees, I'm not trying to get no trouble like these gentlemen are.
Yeah, I foresee some trouble. I foresee some nominees in the future because some people.
Man, already, like, yo, every time, First thing I look at, like, when, you know, when we talk about a show, I said, man, who's getting JoJo this week? Because it's definitely,
who's getting
there hasn't
JoJo
been a week that's went by where there's no one to nominate. Like, it just hasn't been.
Yeah, sports is a crazy world. So, you know, let's jump right into that. So let's talk about what happened this week. While all these nice people that's listening to us right now were on that grind, sitting at that desk trying to make that money. And as usual, everybody, on the grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, which you're going to need pretty soon because the NFL schedule did come out. Everybody's excited, like the season starting tomorrow or something. But, you know, you got till September to get your Sunday ticket and your DirecTV. Just go to our website, worldroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo. Your and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, then you gotta have DirecTV. All right. First, we definitely want to give a shout-out to Craig Sager. You know, usually when we're talking about anything Craig Sager-related, it usually has something to do with his gear being so weak and, you know, just something crazy that he had on. But we found out last week that he's battling leukemia, which is basically going to keep him off the sidelines during this NBA playoffs. And, like, can you guys remember an NBA playoffs without seeing the colorful stylings of Craig Sager out on the sideline? Like, that's crazy to not see him.
Yeah, it's crazy because I do remember, like, you know.
Never.
There was basketball before him, but I can't remember a playoffs without him. You know what I mean? Like, I know that, you know, I'm not sure how long he's been there. How long has he been there? Anybody know?
Not sure the exact amount of years, but, you know, before his clothing took over. No, you can remember Jim Gray doing it probably a lot, and then...
Yeah,
you know,
and the other dude that was the Sports Illustrated writer, what's his guy? The guy that writes at the back page of Sports Illustrated. I can't think of his name on top of my head, but he used to do it too. But I can't think of, you know, a playoff or any important game without him there, so it's kind of weird. You know, F cancer.
Yeah.
You know, get well soon.
Yeah, no doubt. In my opinion, not for Craig this time, because it usually would be for Craig in this situation, but I think a JoJo nomination should be in order. And like you just said, F cancer, so we're going to nominate leukemia.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
You really should.
Yo,
shout out to our homie, man, because we have a homie whose son is currently battling leukemia. You know, he goes by the AKA of Dr. Jerkenstein. So if you guys are in the Philly area, make sure you go to Newman's Grill up on Germantown Avenue. You know the exact address, Jim? If not, we'll get it sometime during the show.
Germantown and Harvey across from the high
across
school.
Across from old Germantown High School. Man, you guys got to go to Newman's Grill. Ask for Dr. Jerkenstein's jerk chicken. Get you a platter, and you know, make sure you show your support, because you know the food is good every day. You know, so you can do that just because. But you know, it'll be good to just drum up a little bit more business because of what he and his family is going through. So make sure you guys get down there to Newman's Grill, Germantown and Harvey, in the Germantown section of Philly, and get you some Dr. Jerkenstein's chicken. So F cancer, like Jimmy said, let's move on. Smush Parker, former point guard of Jimmy's Los Angeles Lakers. He's been accused, he allegedly, in a pickup game, I believe, punched a high schooler in the face because he didn't like the way this dude fouled him. Did you guys hear about this? Did you read anything about it?
Yeah, I definitely did.
Yeah.
And as much as I dislike high schoolers myself and I want to punch a lot of them in the face, he gets the JoJo Award because he only punched the young man because the young man was giving him that work on the court. Boy allegedly, like, you know, scored him a couple times and, you know, fouled him on the other end but was talking trash to him. So, you know, he went in his mouth. Now, this dude is actually like a 6'2", 185-pound. He's a sophomore in high school, but supposedly he has game. He already has scholarship offers as a sophomore from Northwestern, Rutgers, and Villanova. So, dude was supposed to be nice anyway, and he gave Smush that work on the court.
His parents are on, like, HGTV or something like that. His last name is Novogratz, and I will have to ask my wife about that. She watched a lot of HGTV, but it says his parents are Robert and Courtney Novogratz.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with their body of work, but supposedly he gave Smush that work. He gave him a couple of WTs and 1099s.
His name is Wolfgang Novogratz. And somebody, a witness who was there, said, quote-unquote, Wolfie, I guess that's his nickname, Wolfie scored back-to-back baskets on Smush. And at the other end, Smush went up for a shot. There was a hard foul, and they both went down. Smush got up and punched Wolfie in the face. They said he had to go to the hospital and everything for this. I don't know if, you know, he legitimately had an injury that he had to go to the hospital for. Because it probably was, because I can't really see you fishing for money with Smush Parker, because I don't imagine that he has any. And if this guy's parents are on HGTV, you know, they're probably more well off than Smush Parker right now.
Maybe
shame
Smush
on you, Smush.
Maybe Smush should have been a boxer because he couldn't play basketball. I mean, in the words of Kobe Bryant,
he probably can't box either. It's easy
Kobe
to punch somebody in the face when. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Kobe said he shouldn't have been in the NBA, but the Lakers were too cheap to pay for a real point guard, so we let him walk on. And those are Kobe's words.
He got to walk on in the league.
Those are Kobe's words, not mine. But, you know, so maybe he could have tried his hand at boxing or something, because his point guard game was suspect.
I mean, he probably can't box
that
either, man. It's easy to connect on a punch to the face if you're doing something where somebody's not expecting a punch to the face. We're playing ball,
yeah,
man. Punching people in the face.
Well, now it's easy to say that Smush didn't make any money, but Smush made about $6.5 million. Now he's probably blown through all of that.
I didn't say he didn't make any money. I didn't say he didn't make any money. I said it's hard to imagine that Smush has any money.
He has to overcompensate for his name being Smush, so he spends a lot of money.
Ah, got you.
Smush made $6 million. That's gone, cuz.
You live in NY. But yo, one thing we do gotta say to Smush, yo.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
All upset because you're getting torched. You want to act like Birdie out there.
Smush a noodle. All right. Russell Wilson files for divorce. You guys hear about this? He and his wife, Ashton, his wife of 2 years, they're going to call it quits after just 2 years of marriage. Anybody got any thoughts on Russell Wilson?
Yeah, I know exactly what happened.
He's getting D-Wade on right now.
Yeah, he's on that rookie deal. He made $600,000 as a salary this season, and he's up for a pretty hefty raise. You know, you can figure if Colin Kaepernick can get that type of money, and even though Russell Wilson doesn't do much, the fact that he's on a Super Bowl winning team, he's going to get a pretty hefty raise. So he's setting himself up to get rid of her now. So according to the prenup and the court system, you know, he's not going to have to pay big money. Get rid of her now and then get that major contract paying him, you know, I don't know, probably anywhere between $8 million and $12 million a year.
Here's my speculation. My speculation is twofold. It's primarily what you said, B. Austin. Also, he's the Super Bowl winning quarterback, so he probably, you know, acted a fool after the fact and went out and got a lot of gushy wushy. If you look at the Seahawks, they just brought in a new quarterback. They already had Tavares Jackson and they have Terrell Pryor now. Tavares Jackson makes $1.25 million. Terrell Pryor makes $705,000, and Russell Wilson makes $662,000. Meaning Russell Wilson is the third highest paid quarterback on his team at this point. So he is getting ready to scale up. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, and he's the third highest paid quarterback on his squad. So he's getting ready to stick the Seahawks up. So while he's out there enjoying being the Super Bowl winning quarterback and engaging in a lot of promiscuous activities, he figures, you know, I can get some money, get out of it. He's getting out of that deal and getting ready to get another deal. Let's put it that way. He just put the contract at this point.
And my speculation is he's getting his D-Wade on because this is a woman that he's been with since high school. She kind of followed him around to every university that he went to because, remember, he didn't just go to one school. I think it's a situation kind of like Dwayne Wade. Even though Dwayne Wade was a high draft pick, I don't think Dwayne Wade back at that time realized, first of all, he was going to win a championship in 2006. I don't think he realized that he was going to quickly become one of the best players in the league. Now, I'm not saying Russell Wilson is the best player, one of the best players in the league, but I'm pretty sure, remember, he was drafted to be the lowly backup to the great Matt Flynn. So he came in, his career took a quick turn to starter, to Super Bowl winning, you know, quarterback. I just think it's another D-Wade situation where he realized, like, yo, I got married too early because I was a little bit of a cornball back in the day. I married the first girl who was nice to me and gave me a little bit of yams. Now that I won a Super Bowl and I'm the man, yams are free-flowing. So I guess he figured, I got married too early, I got to get out of this. So I think it's another D-Wade situation. I mean, have you seen his wife, though? That looked like something he should have never gotten into in the first place.
Yo, here's the thing with D-Wade, though. D-Wade ended up, like, proving himself right when his chick went straight ballistic and was, like, laying on the street, panhandling and acting crazy. Like, you know that there's something else there, like, you know, because the
chick
basically... Yo, think about this, right? The court gave him primary custody, This is a guy that plays in a National Basketball Association who's barely home. She can only see the kids like once every other month. Like, how crazy is she for the court to grant him custody when he's never home to begin with? Like, that's how crazy. They took the kids from their mother and gave it to someone who plays basketball for a living.
But you can also look at it like this. She was the one holding him down since, like, high school. She went through all the hard times with him, and then when he became the man, he wanted the role. So he might have forced her to go crazy. could be how much she loved that dude.
I mean, it could be that, but I mean, at that point, once that crazy
but
came out,
it
ain't no going back.
Oh, no, it ain't
yeah,
no
it was
going
there.
Back. It ain't no going back.
It was there.
Yeah. He uncovered it. And, you know,
dog, when
if
I
they would have lived
the
happily
shop,
ever after, he probably wouldn't would have never saw that
never
side of her. Yeah.
Yo, my thing is, when you see a court take a child from their mother, it raises an eyebrow. But then when you give it to someone who doesn't even have, like, a stable home life, it's like, yo, how bad are you?
He's not even home.
Yo, how
yo,
bad are
this,
you?
Have y'all seen Russell Wilson's wife, though?
Yeah.
I saw
that. Okay.
She's very
loyal.
I mean, she's
in the
same category.
I just
want to tell you, this is what I think of her. I think Robert Griffin III's wife looks better than her. Now, you know that's saying a lot.
Yo!
And Bob Griffin's wife
was
like a young
say,
Margot
I was
Kidder.
Just about to
she
say
doesn't.
That they're in the same category. He and Cornball Brothers' wife are in the same category. But
did you just Google her?
Yeah, you might be right.
Google her.
Yeah.
Google her. She's
yeah,
scary.
I saw her earlier. Yeah, she's
yeah Russell cool. Wilson. He went for the first jammies that came his way. He was a virgin. It had to be.
Damn.
Now, so... Now is a whole different world for him. So he, it's time to let go of the ball and chain and live his
yeah,
life.
That's the truth.
Until
RG3's wife loses points for a couple reasons, though, anyway.
Huh. She was because she
down.
Was his backup
there. I asked my brother down, they said, hey, equal, all of we are the site.
Yo, I can't even listen to that, yo. RG3 is a disgrace, yo.
Yo, but you know what that was? Oh, that's called what you just said. That's called loyalty.
Yeah,
she know where her bread is buttered and where her meal ticket is.
Yo,
you need a backup dancer, Bobby
position,
Norbit? I'll be your backup dancer.
Yo, in that position, these women have to do everything. They have to do everything they're at to keep that position.
Hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. A lot of these dudes,
it's
man,
crazy though.
Yo, a lot of these dudes
is that
like
Russell.
When you look at the players, right, that played in the league
yeah.
years ago, a lot of them that keep loyal chicks around be the ones that got money when it's all over with. A lot of the dudes that's doing
yeah.
what Russell did,
yeah.
a lot
yeah.
of dudes doing what D. Wade did.
Look at Tim Duncan. Look at Tim Duncan's wife. She looks like a cross between uncooked dough and uncooked chicken. And he's
damn.
Loyal. Yeah.
No,
damn.
But I'm talking
even
about, like,
through
dudes,
the gay rumor, she stayed.
Dudes like Mashburn, I mean, if Cookie can stay with Magic, yo, then it's hope
yeah.
for everybody.
Yo, Cookie
yeah.
is a different case, though.
It's hope for everybody, yo.
How?
Because
think
I'm
about
saying.
It. Magic wasn't nowhere near as rich back then as he is now. So she really didn't have that much of a reason to stay.
Exactly.
So,
but what I'm saying is a lot of
loyal.
Dudes like that who have those loyal, those be the ones that after the career is over that still prosper, yo. Shout to Jamal Mashburn, mm-hmm. yo. Get the loyal.
See, Tiger had a big yeah. reset. He had a big reset in his funds because he had to get that chick all that money.
Yeah, man. So what you think, man? You think Russell Wilson is smart for making this move, or you think that he's foolish for you know?
A little
bit. How do you guys look at
it? Go ahead, Dad. I don't want Dad to give you.
I mean, if my speculation came out to be true, then he probably should be ashamed of himself for getting married that early anyway. But you really can't blame
right.
him, because if you looked at his career trajectory back then, who thought he was going to be here? He played football and baseball, but I don't think he thought or anybody else thought he was going to be a superstar in either one of those. And he just bust onto the scene, and, you know, he's not even really playing like a superstar, and he's a superstar. So I don't
yeah.
know. I see a lot of people say that he's winning right now because he's letting her go. So
right.
I just look at the chick and say,
take,
probably a good thing.
If I take my mature, moral glasses off, because I definitely am a supporter of marriage, and I believe in the institution of marriage. But from a purely financial standpoint, because we know, look, man, it's cheaper to keep her unless you're in a situation like this. They don't have any kids, I don't believe. So all he's going to have to do is pay a little bit of money, and then when his big money comes in, she really can't touch it. So from a financial standpoint, I'm inclined to say that if he's not winning, he's at least tied. He's at least McNabb versus Beckett.
So nobody thinks that he could be foolish for letting her go because, you know, she's kind of loyal. He could have still did what he did.
No, man.
Yo,
no.
I mean, like Beyonce said, if you look at it from a morality standpoint, then
yeah,
it's foolish. But like I said, I'm superficial. If you look at the chick physically,
yeah, I'm going to keep it.
Get out of there.
I'm going to keep it 1 million.
Get out of there.
Yo, I'm with Dev. I don't believe a man should marry.
Yeah, but he can't roll over.
Like, yo, Jimmy, when he rolls over in bed and looks at her, he's not happy with that decision. It's not
I need to kill him, yo.
So if the ladies want to slander me, you know, at Tiffany on Twitter, I understand. But, you know.
No, I can fix it with the ladies right now. Russell need to go get a sister. Ooh, we back in good standing.
True.
That's a whole other thing, yo. All I'm saying is they could have came to some sort of agreement. Like, yo, you've been loyal, so you know you go. But you, this is what I'm going to be doing, and you got to accept it, yo.
Yeah.
I
saw what you did there. That was brilliant. The problem with Russell is I don't think Russell knows he's black. He just has the benefit of the black genes on the field. Now, RG3 is a whole nother level of self-hate, because I don't think that Russell hates himself. Bob Norbit looks in the mirror and sees those struggle braids and that complexion and the nose. And all. He doesn't love himself. So he's going the complete opposite. He's like, yo, I want to get rid of these genes altogether. But that's a whole nother – we off on a tangent, man. Let's,
yo, peep this right. This is like out of left field. I was watching a documentary on Netflix, right? It's called Marley. It's about Bob Marley, right? So he had him a loyal chick, because that's what we call them now. They call loyal chicks, right? But when he blew up and became like a rock star, he kept her around, but they just had an understanding. Yo, like, yo, I'm going to be doing this. Yo, and she even, like, you know, helped him out. Yo, but she even helped him out with that. But at the end of the day, like, she took care of his crib, made sure, you know, the kids were taken care of, made sure his finances were taken care of. But, you know, she allowed him to indulge in a... Yo, like, she would tell, she like, watch the documentary. She'd be like, yo, I was going there, like,
was?
Yo,
you know what
he wants
was?
You to leave.
You know what it was, Jimmy? She allowed him to grow his farm. So she allowed him
to be a farmer.
A lot of acreage.
Yo, but she supported
many,
it,
many
though. That's what I'm saying.
Men will never
like,
have that type of support to have a great farm. They're going to have a small farm. You know,
they have to understand in the grand scheme of things, it's about the partnership. You know what I mean? He could have stepped at her like, yo, I want to be a farmer. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you can either help me grow this farm so we can have acres, or, you know, you got to leave and take a little bit, you know? That's all I'm saying, man. Anyway.
It's funny, though. It's funny that we all just assume that it's Russell. We find out later that she smashed one of his teammates or something. We find out later that that's what's happening. I'm like, dang, Russ, my bad, dog. All right, last story. Michael Pineda, and y'all can just get the button ready now. Michael Pineda, Miguel Pineda, depends on what country he's in when you call him by his name. Yankees pitcher. He was ejected from a game against the Red Sox on Wednesday for having pine tar on his neck. Now, after he was ejected, you know, he didn't try to lie. He said, yeah, he had it on there, but he was using it because it was cold outside and he was trying to get a grip on the ball. Now, that's bad in itself right there because, you know, any foreign substance on the ball is illegal in baseball. That's bad all by itself. But what makes the story even worse is back on April 10th against the Boston Red Sox, this same pitcher had pine tar on his hand and tried to say it was dirt. So you got caught cheating twice in 3 weeks.
Yo, I saw
what is wrong with
him? I saw the interview, and he said, oh, no, it was dirt. It was sweat and dirt.
My thing is, did you guys see the highlights of Wednesday's game, though? Like, dog, like,
yo,
it was just obvious.
Yo, my man,
just sitting on his neck. He didn't even try to really hide it.
Yo, my man was drawing, yo. It's funny. It's sad. Like, yo, it's so many things that could be said here, yo. Shout out to Kevin Gross, first and foremost. But, yo, I'm going to let JoJo talk to him, yo.
The old man just had a glob of pine tar sitting on his
neck. I want to be clear. I agree with the JoJo nomination, but it may be a little different than your. It's not the fact that he cheated, because using pine tar is a widely accepted practice in MLB. Like, all pitchers do it. They just don't do it. They don't do it
so blatantly,
so brazen, so blatantly. That's why I think he did. Like, put him on
the dude was two different complexions, B. Like, yo, he was team light skin and dark skin at the same time, yo.
Yo, I guess you can only do that if you're the complexion of pine tar, as Jada would probably say. Yo, you can't.
Yeah.
He just had shiny brown stuff on his neck. Like, you can't do that,
man. But my thing is, you got away with it the first time, and you have to understand there's cameras on you at all times, B. Like, yo, this is 2014. This isn't 84, yo. I remember catching
you have to understand
all
the
time with the
Red Sox
and all that kind of stuff.
The Red Sox are looking for you now. They're looking to see what you're doing now. This guy.
And Ak is out there, yo. He out there looking like he working on the roof. Like, he's just out of control, man. Like, what's wrong with you, B?
Because it's one of those things where, remember, Jimmy, you wrote that blog about the unwritten rules of baseball? And really, like, doing what the Sox did, kind of like snitching on cats, that's one of those rules that's in there. But even Brian Cashman, the GM of the Yankees, was like, I fully understand, you know, where the Sox manager was coming from on this one, because it was so blatant. It was like, how can you not say something? You can't just let this dude out here with this brown makeup-looking stuff on his neck.
Yo!
And before pitching, he want to keep rubbing his neck, like his neck itch.
He's drawing.
You can't blame him.
Like,
he has to say something. He had to say something.
You're disrespecting us watching at home. Like, it's to the point where the people announcing the game are like, yo, he got to chill. Like, it reminded me of, like, on Stand By Me when they got in the water and there was leeches on him. Like,
the
that's
leeches.
What it looked like. Like, he had a leech on his neck. Like, he had a leech on
and
his
that,
neck.
And you just said disrespecting the people at home. That's how Brian Cashman found out. Somebody called him on his cell phone during the game, like, yo, your pitcher has something on his neck, man. You might want to check that out. So he said he tried to go from his box down to the dugout to see what was going on, but by the time he got down there, the Sox had already domed him out, and the ump had already went over there and tapped his neck twice to see what the hell was on his neck and kicked him out of the game. So, yo, I what's wrong with you, man?
Yo, your pitcher got a leech on his neck. Like he was way out of control with that. If this was a normal week and we didn't nominate Cancer, he would definitely win. I mean, there's no way he can beat Cancer. But, yo, he's as sick as Cancer, because not the first time was bad and you got away with it. So you want to double back and, like, you know, put it on your neck. Yo, like, nobody says something when his team walking out there like, cuz.
He tried to disrespect MLB and the umpire, like, yo, I can do what I want.
Yo, you are so disrespectful. Yo, that's
my neck,
moment, right?
My back, my neck, and my back. Oh.
Yo, he got away with it, right? He really got away with it and doubled back. Like, how stupid are you, yo? Like, he making
against
a tie
the same team. Against
the
same team.
Yo, what he did was this. He did the equivalent of sleeping with a young lady. You find out that she's HIV positive, and then you know what you do? You go back and sleep with her unprotected again. That's the equivalent of what he did. That's the equivalent of what he did. You knew you were out of control. You was like, yo, I'm just going to take this chance, yo. Like, what is wrong with you?
He got away with
it
the first time. He got tested in school.
Yeah. And he said, you know what? The Yams
had that control.
Yo, all I can say is this, man. I'm going to let JoJo talk to you one more time.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Hey, Jimmy, man. Let everybody know who's having a birthday. This dude is way out.
Absolutely. It's time to give some birthday shout-outs. And these birthdays are brought to you by
Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. Visit www.alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. And don't forget, tell them War Room Sports sent you, get you the hookup.
It's my birthday!
Now,
yay!
Gentlemen, the birthdays this week, we got some familiar names. We got Carlos Beltran turning 37.
Getting old, Carlos.
Eric Snow turns 41. Chipper Jones turns 42.
Chipper.
Last but not least, we have Dino Raja. Remember Dino Raja? Dino Raja turns 47.
Dino.
Yo, Dino Raja.
Dino used to stink. Dino used to stink.
Yeah, so.
Yo, Eric Snow, Eric Snow is another one of them, Russell Wilson types. He didn't think he was going to the league at all. He get to the league, have a nice career. Billy King paid him too much money. He ended up getting rid of his chick as well.
Who was
Eric
Michigan State?
Eric Snow didn't believe he was going to play athletics, let alone make it to the league.
Here's the thing. I'm old enough to remember Eric Snow playing in college at Michigan State, and he definitely wasn't the best player in his team. He had, like, Sean Ressler, who I thought was going to be
– like a brute.
Sean Ressler was supposed to go to the Hall of Fame, and he became a terrible NBA player.
And Eric Snow had a long career.
He figured out a way to stay around. Like, I can't shoot. I can't run. I'm just going to play defense and act smart.
I'm not going to turn this ball over. All my passes are going to be handoffs, so I won't turn it over.
He had a high percentage of shooting because he was scared to shoot. My man was literally scared to shoot. Shout out to Eric Snow, though, for making a hell of a career. Then became a broadcaster.
Y'all are being disrespectful on that man's birthday. Eric Snow actually had a hell of a jumper from 9 feet. From 9 feet, he was water.
Yo.
Y'all don't remember that?
All I know is when he became a broadcaster, he used to fall asleep. Remember he fell asleep, yo?
That's the greatest thing ever.
Right on the air. Yeah.
He fell asleep on the air, snoring as the game was going on.
Not just on the air. Remember they had a, I don't know if
on
it was a preseason game in D.C. He fell asleep on the train, missed his stop, and was late for the game. Had to double back and catch the metro in D.C. to get to the game. Yo, what's wrong with him? He ain't getting enough sleep in this
having
in
bad
time.
Sleep habits, yo. So, Eric Snow, we didn't mean to poop on you on your birthday, man. Happy birthday, good brother, yo. And we'd like to give a nice, big, warm salute to all these gentlemen on their birthdays. We got a lot of different stories to talk about. But before we do, yo, Dem, tell everybody how to get in touch with us real quick.
All right, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter, and it is weekly. You only get it once a week. Sometimes, if we don't have much to say, we don't even put it out. So you will not get spammed by us. Join the newsletter. Get that. All right, for general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab. Buy yourself some cool War Room Sports merchandise, click on our blog tab to read the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to watch our videos at WarRoomSportsTV.com, to listen to the network shows at WRSPN.com, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app to get everything I just mentioned right there on the go, right on your hip, or wherever you keep your phone and your purse. Some of y'all dudes got purses. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show, blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, all you got to do is sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio if you don't already have one. But if you don't want to create an account, you can sign into your Facebook and Twitter accounts. We know you got those. While you're at it, click follow. That'll get you updates and reminders about the show every week. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline right now, because we're opening it up right now, 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. All right. So we're going to get into some hot topics. Jim, you want to go screen team on that? And then
yeah, I definitely will after I tell everybody who Hot Topics is brought to you by. We do have a quick question on Twitter. Maybe you can and this question is from at KCMac38 wants to know, why isn't pine tar legal? What's the big deal with pine tar? What do you gentlemen have to say about that real quick?
I can't really tell you the scientific reasons, but it
changes the control surfaces of the baseball, and it also gives you it enhances the pitcher's ability to control the ball on his on his pitches.
That's exactly
at its core, is that really cheating? Or I mean, because you don't want 90. I mean, we're going to talk about this in a couple of minutes. You don't want a 90 mile an hour fastball to the face because a pitcher couldn't control it. And that was actually his defense. He said, you know, I didn't want to lose control of the ball and throw it at anybody's head or anything like that. I mean,
it's
kind of lame.
Manipulating the ball. I remember back in the day, back in the late 80s, early 90s, catches to like get caught with sandpaper. And they used to be, like,
right.
you know, scratching the ball with that. Anything to get an advantage, baseball players have tried. They went as far as putting corks inside their bats. People got caught
right.
doing that.
Because
and a lot
pine
of times
tar is
pitching,
not like Vaseline or something. Vaseline would have an effect, like when the ball hits off of the bat, it probably
mm-hmm.
has an effect on the ball being a little bit slippery. This, I don't think it has an effect on them hitting the ball, but you're right. I mean, you could throw more strikes.
Start throwing
if
all kinds of nasty curveballs out there. They're like, "Oh, how did he get a curveball? He didn't have a curve his whole career."
Yeah, it allows you to enhance your stuff. Pause that, no sit. But it allows you to enhance your stuff and give you the ability to throw more pitches. So I don't think it's really about you losing control of a pitch and it coming up outside of the strike zone and hitting somebody in the face or whatever. It just allows you to – basically in basketball, it would be like something enabling you to carry or palm.
Yeah, so, I mean, we pretty much answered the question
bad
at this
referee.
Point. we pretty much answered the question, yo. Let's jump into some of these hot topics. And these hot topics are brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks. Just kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. Here is what you do. Go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports and get your free audiobook. You don't have to stay signed up, but you can try it out. Try Audible, see if you like it, and then, you know, if you do like it, continue. If you don't, you know, FOH, but you have your free audiobook. I've done a lot of – actually, I just put out a review of a book I read. The Wilt Chamberlain book is on the warroomsports.com/blog, and it's amazing because my pen game is mean, but – you know, go to Audible and actually get that book for free. And, you know, you can learn all about Wilt like I did. Anyway,
hey, I got a quick question for y'all, man, about that same topic.
Yo.
Because I keep seeing it come across my monitor. I'm like, when they stopped the game and everybody started walking out there to you, why he didn't give a quick shoulder shrug to his neck or something to try to wipe that? Like, he didn't even try. He just let him come out there and touch
But, you know,
his
that's part of the
that
problem. I know we're, like, you know, rambling on about him. But part of the problem isn't him cheating, like B. Austin said. It's the egregious way in which he did it and how, like, just arrogant he seemed to be. Like, yo, you got away with it once. Now you out there like, yo, FOH, I'm just going to put this on my neck. And if you guys see the picture of it, it makes it that worse. Like, dude was walking around like two different complexions. Like, he was just real brash with
it. Yeah, and that's the thing.
He looked like he was working
on
a car or something. He came up from under the car with oil on his neck.
I'm gonna go back to my basketball analogy because I'm in the deep end of the pool with baseball. So it's still like it's not that you carried a palm because everybody in the league carries a palm. It's like you brought out your N1 hot sauce move and you just walked with the ball and held it up. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody does it. But you were like, yo, ref.
Yo, okay, Casey Mack said his thing is he thinks everybody uses it. And Casey Mack, everybody may use it, but not to that level. Not actually while they're on the mound, taking the tar, putting it on the ball before a pitch. Yo, and you're walking out there on team dark skin and team light skin at the same time. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. Like, he disrespected Boston, New York. Yo, he disrespected us talking about him. Yo, Casey Mack,
like,
he disrespected you, B. Like,
put the water on your neck. Put it on your neck.
Yo, he was drawing, yo.
Yeah,
so
he definitely was.
That's that, man. But I know other stories we got to talk about. I'm going to screen up while you talk about these other stories, man.
All right. Austin, you know, the Boston Marathon was this past week, and, you know, we all know what happened last year at the Boston Marathon. You know, this year, because of what happened last year, it seemed like the marathon came back strong. Like, there were 36,000 runners in the Boston Marathon this year. That's 9,000 more than last year. And I don't know what the final numbers were for people, you know, just being in the crowd or during that 26-mile stretch. But prior to the marathon, I was hearing that they were expecting in excess of 1 million people out there, you know, just to show unity and stuff like that. Like, do you find that kind of stuff strange? Like, that seems like the kind of thing it takes for people in this country to unify a little bit. But I can't front, man. I would have been a little nervous about going out there. Like they blow this up last year and it makes more people come out. Like, that's a little strange.
Yeah, I'm sure if you check the demographic of ethnic makeup, there weren't a lot of people of darker hue that made a rush to get out there. Now, what I'm saying, I'm not saying that black people or Hispanic people don't run marathons. But what I am saying is that when there's the threat of a bomb being blown up at a marathon, more than likely those black or Hispanic people aren't going to make their way there to run. And as you said, we live in a society where there's so much bombarding our senses and in our minds and keeping our attention or whatever. It is something like this that's necessary to rally us around the flagpole, so to speak, and help us show, I guess, patriotism and, you know, reach out to our fellow man around someone trying to attack, quote unquote, us, you know. So things like this, things like, you know, 9/11, you know, anything, you know, like that, that has a measure of sensationalism around the patriotism, you're going to see a response like this.
I was just going to say, I don't know why Bush knocked down the towers, but in terms of the Boston Marathon, you said there's not a lot of people of color. I mean, maybe not African Americans, but people from Tanzania, Zambia, Mozambique, and Botswana, they make up a majority of them people. Like, you know,
well, Jimmy, you're talking about
he said they run. He's talking about spectators just chilling.
Oh, you're talking about the spectators around. You're talking about spectators around. Okay.
Because besides 9,000 more runners, there were more spectators this year. I mean, it's basically like a show of solidarity. But, I mean, if you look at it from another perspective, if something happened there before, then actually the Boston Marathon might have been the safest place to be in America that day.
Absolutely.
But
right?
At the same time, it's a marathon. How many, you know, officers and how much security does it take to lock down 26 miles, though? Like, you probably could have been anywhere else in that city committing a crime.
they had
every Homeland Security agent checking everybody with the name Ahmed, Bilal, Akil. They had you. They had Jack Bauer there. Yo, they was anything to make people feel.
You're right.
Feel secure. They're gonna do, because that's a rallying point again, and there's an economic benefit to having that rallying point. Now, I'm not questioning the genuine emotion of the people who wanted to show their patriotism, but don't get it twisted for one second. Like, people aren't aware that, okay, now this year at the Boston Marathon, instead of the usual 300,000, we're going to get 1 million. You know, that's an extra 100, you know, $150-200 million to be spent. So, you know, they're going to do the thing
I'm saying is this, man. You know, it was an interesting sight, man. Shout out to Stetsasonic for helping me remember the countries in Africa, by the way, because that's the only reason I know them all.
I know, right?
Yeah. Shout out to Stetsasonic.
I only know them in that order, too.
Yeah. Me too, yo. Prince Paul and Daddy, yo. Child, y'all, the Stetsasonic, yo. Stet Troop 88. But, yo, With that being said, man, it was interesting to see. But, Dev, I agree with the point you made. It's probably the safest place to be in the world. You know, it's like I tell young ladies, man, if you catch your man cheating on you, then you might as well stay with him because he's less likely to do it again, you know? The Kobe Bryant theory.
Yeah.
But,
So
that was the safest place to be that day. But, you know, shout out to Boston, Boston Strong.
I don't know.
Boston Strong.
You say be Boston?
Boston Strong.
You don't know if you'll be aware.
I don't agree with that. What, the dude cheating?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes
cheating.
They be so shook up and happy that they got another chance. They might be scared. I don't know.
Kobe Bryant, man.
That's only the
anyway,
Russell
man.
Wilson
stuff. Stop driving this
yo,
time, man. It's
yeah,
a bro code
for that. Yeah, you're drawing right now. Yo, we got the homie on the line, man. And he wants to come on a rap with us, man. We got Naeem, who's in Baltimore by way of Philly. We'll open up the digital stream lines. Naeem.
Hey, what's going on, War Room? I'm laughing at Jimmy talking about Bush taking down the towers. You trying to get your radio station off the air? Because that is true. But I'm gonna leave that alone.
We just got red flagged. We got red flagged.
Yeah, red flag. You got red flag on that one. But I want to talk about the what you say about status. And Jimmy, remember maybe Devin and I'll be awesome, but. When I was in the streets catching heavy, heavy, heavy money, I got married at a young age. You understand?
You got married at a young age, no doubt.
You married at a young age, got a house and everything all in Crestmount that I don't live in, paid for college tuition and all. But when the money is coming, you catch different girls. Now,
yeah.
But I'm going to tell you this. Karma is a B-I-T-C-H. It took me from the age of 25 to finally meet somebody now who's there with me, you know, that y'all
yeah.
know, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, she stuck it out with me during rough times, just coming back home again, and I landed me a great job. But you're talking about NBA ball players who are making millions of dollars. I will not get married. For what? You're wasting time.
Yeah.
Don't get married.
Yeah.
Just don't get married.
Not even your time. Not even just your time now. You're wasting somebody else's time because – you
yeah.
know what you're doing on the road. You know how the life
yeah.
is. So, because actually, if you think about it, we talking about Magic and Cookie, Jim. Like, Magic really, he didn't get married to Cookie until, you know, less than a
yeah.
year before
yeah.
he caught that. I mean,
yeah,
he wasn't
yeah.
about
Magic,
to retire
Magic
yet.
Did his thing.
But I,
yeah, he
yeah,
said
but
he
got
married got
everything
retired.
Out of his system. Yeah, he got everything out of his system,
cookie.
Basically.
Absolute Cookie is sick with somebody after doing that. I mean,
but she waited so long to get him. So
listen, loyalty
on the same token, I want to talk about something else. I really want to see Portland and OKC, Lillard against Westbrook.
I don't think nobody wants to see Portland
battle.
Right now. I don't know if anybody wants to see Portland right now.
that's going to be a battle.
Yo,
I think
Conley not really up to that work. I mean, he had a pretty good game, too, but he
let me ask you guys a question
work.
Real quick. Portland is playing well, but is it because they're playing that well, or is it because Houston is, like, really that bad? Houston is
no,
so
Dwight Howard is a great point.
No, but
great
I think
point.
Portland was that team, though, that people are like, you know, I'm not trying
oh,
to
yeah,
really
nobody wants
them.
To play them.
They're that team that nobody, you know, nobody thinks they're going to the finals or anything, but they just that
hey,
team that
don't
you just
be surprised.
Play, you know?
Portland got a great guard play. Lillard and Westbrook, and I'm pronouncing the guy's name wrong, the other power forward against Usain Durant, that's going to be a good battle. It's going to be
yeah.
a seven-game series.
Now, I, you know what? I like Jimmy's point. I think that Houston is slumming right now, and it all starts with the dude that should cut his beard.
But
yeah,
Dwight Howard, first of all,
with beers, man.
Dwight Howard,
I mean,
we're gonna get to that. Never had a low post game, okay? Never have and never will. And it's showing now, okay? I mean,
he was embarrassing
you know,
Robin Lopez yesterday.
Well,
he was just manning him, but you know what though? I think it's a little
he
bit.
He was resting it on his shoulder
well.
Last night.
Portland is playing well, but Houston is not playing good at all. I mean, we all know that James Harden can't stick any of us on rapping right now. Like, he's the worst defensive player in the history of basketball. So, but, I mean, it shows in the playoffs. It's sort of like, you know, in the regular season, you get away with a lot of things, but when the playoffs happen and the pressure's on you,
yeah, you get
exposed. Dwight Howard always takes on pressure. Harden's going to come to play. But Dwight Howard always
– listen to this, Naeem. You're right. He does crack under pressure a lot, but he's partnered with the guy that cracks under pressure. That's not a good nuclear
partnership.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Bad partnership.
It's not a stuck-ass partnership.
It is. It is. And the crazy part about it, what people don't realize with them is they don't match up well with a lot of people. Houston, they talk about championship because Dwight Howard's there. I don't see it's not going to happen. It's not.
We'll see, man.
One thing
I will say
is this right here. If I was an NBA ball player, I wouldn't get married. I wouldn't get married.
I feel you.
I wouldn't get married.
I mean, it only makes sense, man. It really only makes sense. At least until you're
tired. A good friend of mine, you know, that I know personally, finally got married, and he's to his high school sweetheart, Rudy Gay. And he's 22. He finally got married to her after 10 years of putting her through that. You know, why get married? Like, Wade was a sucker when he came into the league. You know, like I said, he was a straight cornball. You know, his wife held him down. Now he got Gabrielle Union.
I don't think he changed, though. I think he's still the same cornball.
He ain't going to change. He's still a cornball.
Just rich and famous. Rich and famous. So.
Yo, shout out my homie Wilt Chamberlain, because Wilt never got married. He was on the same tip you was on. Like, what am I married for?
Yeah, but the same token is this right here. You're talking about regular guys who got millions of dollars now that everybody know them. So, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, if you are a wife, like my wife, my first wife that I married, she accepts certain things I did because I took care of home. You understand me? But eventually she got tired when my stuff was on the porch. You understand me? But it is what it is. I'm being honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Stuff was on the porch. Lots of change. I'm like, hey, yo, what's going on? You ain't putting me out of my house. I'll go in the basement.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you the facts. You know what I mean? But it's a beautiful thing when you can have, like, I had bad luck of karma dealing with women for 8 years till I met this one. And it's a beautiful thing when you can build with someone that truly cares about you and that's with you. You know
no
what
doubt.
I mean? It's a beautiful thing when, you know, you go through a struggle with this person and now the struggle is over and I'm able to do extra stuff for her. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no
you
doubt.
Know?
No doubt. I mean, you know.
Y'all can get the invitation for the wedding soon.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Congratulations, man.
Yeah,
yo, Naeem,
yeah,
we got to
move
on, though. We got a bunch of people trying to get
on,
man.
Yeah, go ahead
and
get on
my phone
so I can listen to the last of these people, because I know a lot of things coming up, like crybaby LeBron James.
Yeah, you're still slandering LeBron, yo. All right, Naeem.
All right, brother.
All right, take it easy.
Oh, man.
Yo, man, our lines are blowing up, man. We got the homie Tobias on the line, man. Roll Dan Ty, yo. Tobias, what's up, homie?
Roll Tide, man, but hey. All right, I saw that spring game, but anyway, my Bulls are down 0-2. We're getting swept.
You
think they're going to get swept by the Wizards? I don't see a sweep coming, but they definitely may have blown the series. They definitely may have blown the series by losing two at home. I don't know if they can come back from that.
But y'all know I'm a fan, but I've always been a critic of my favorite basketball team as well, and how they never had got anyone else to get their own shot. When you got the team of DJ Augustine and Kirk Heinrich, when they come out Heinrich from Kansas to get you a shot, it's over.
We're talking about Heinrich who blow free throws at the end of the game.
Well, yeah. You know what, Tobias, Kirk Heinrich is afraid of athletic African-Americans. So that fear gets to him.
Yeah. And, you know, the crazy part, you know, and it's also surprised a lot of Bulls fans. That's why I love these, what they call message board, what these guys are like, oh, we took Carmelo Anthony. He doesn't fit. I'm like, he can score.
How about that? Anybody who can score fits with the Bulls right now. I don't care what people
say. Tobias, I have to be 100% honest. It's brutal to watch you guys play at times. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you're a great defensive team, but on offense, yo, it's a struggle and it's hard to watch. I feel like I'm, yo, you guys will be the best football team in basketball. Like, you guys play NFC East basketball.
Hey, yo. I tell you this, I'm a fan, and I agree with you, because there's a problem. You can play all the defense you want. You can hustle, play hard, do all that you want. But at the end of the day, talent wins. Washington, that starting five, everyone that starting five can hit a shot. The Bulls
on
they're
on the floor with five people that can score. On the floor with five people that can score.
And I'll tell you that to other people, but I'll say these two quick things. One, LeBron James should be crying because last year this guy went over 2 weeks without even having one single foul called against him. And I'll throw this out here. James Harden has to be one of the three most overrated players in the NBA. I know people love the mohawk and the beard gimmick, but he's overrated. Let's just keep it real. I know seventh graders that can defend better than him, and he's a volume shooter.
Damn.
He's not a great shooter, and let's be honest. They talk about Carmelo going in Houston. Where you going to find a shot at?
Let me ask you a question, though, and be honest with me. Be honest with me. If you guys could pick up Harden and put him on your Bulls tomorrow, would you take him?
Yeah, I'll take him, but I won't take him.
need somebody that can put the ball in the hoop, yeah.
But my point is that he's a good player, but he's not the superstar it wants to make him.
I know. I get it. I'm just messing with you, good brother. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always kind of been my sentiment in here. I think he was crowned a little too quickly.
Yeah, I'll say this before I go. Tom Thibodeau need to believe in, hey, the guys needing a rep. They say he don't trust these certain players, Tony Snell, these guys. You don't have to put guys in. Free agent, you may not want to go there because the man going to run you to the bone playing 40 minutes against the Bobcat or the Bucks and Mark, you know. But that's all I have, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You already know.
No doubt.
Roll damn tide. Yo, that looked terrible in that game, by the way.
Yo.
You said who did?
Tide, that spring game. Y'all played each other, yo. Y'all played each other, and both sides of the ball looked terrible.
We'll be all right, hey. Hey, we'll be all right. Oh, hey, we'll be looking good for West Virginia in our yearly Chattanooga game.
Do
you think next year that Tibbs will move Jakim to the one and have him play a little bit of point guard for you guys?
Who's going to the
Yo, be off the top, man.
He's just joking, man. He's just playing around.
Hey,
all right, man. Thanks for your call, man. Appreciate it.
Take it easy, man.
All right. DNA that. Just quick shout-outs, man. Boxing news, we all know that Reuben Hurricane Carter passed away at, like, age 76 last week. Yeah, spent 19 years in the joint for something that he didn't do. We all know his story. Allegedly, yeah.
I read a book, and, you know, the movie was sensationalized. Shout-out to Denzel, yo. But anyway,
as a matter of fact, I read that the movie not only just sensationalized on the story, like they made up characters in this movie to make the movie more interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I hate? I hate when people take movies. I mean, the thing is, I love movies. Who doesn't? We all love movies. But I hate when people take, like, movies based on a true story and they talk about it like it's just fact at this point. Like,
you know. You got to realize they gotta Hollywood it up to make it interesting. You know?
Shout out to all Denzel Washington autobiography.
Frank Lucas.
Shout out to another boxer who's just as old as Reuben Carter was when he passed. Bernard Hopkins does it again at age 78.
Pugilist,
age 49. He unifies the light heavyweight crowns with his win over Beboot Shemot. I can't say that dude's name, man.
Yeah,
his
don't
name,
even try it. His name.
Dude, name is
Bull. His name is Bull.
Some other Bull.
Beboot Shumanov. Yeah, the dude Shumanov. To me, I can't even front. I was in and out, falling asleep during the fight. But, you know.
That was Bernard.
Every time I woke up, it looked like Bernard was dominating the fight. So, and I'm not going to watch it again to get to be able to give analysis.
Yo.
I'm not going to do that. So shout out to Bernard. Philly, support Philly.
I think I'm going to give the official War Room Sports position because I know y'all feel the same way. I support Bernard Hopkins, and I love him as a boxer. He's my favorite active fighter. But it's time for him to not be active, yo. Like, yo, it's every time he goes out, I'm like, yo, please don't do any damage to your legacy, man, because, you know, when the chips are all cashed in, he's created a great legacy for himself. But he's fought about 10 years. I would say 10 years, but at least 5 years too long, man.
But here's the amazing thing.
If he keeps winning, his legacy is getting stronger because they just, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And here's what's crazy
people
about
think
it, y'all.
Better
what's crazy
of his
about
past
it is,
because he's winning as an old man.
He's dominating fights at an old age. Now, are they entertaining? Not at all.
Hell.
But he's dominating fights. And he's literally stayed around so long that the narrative on him is going to change. If about 15 years ago, everybody thought that, like, he was a sucker and Roy Jones was, like, that dude. Like, now they're looked at in two different veins now.
That
Roy Jones
like,
even,
the buck.
Yeah, Jimmy, right.
Ago.
Even his past is going to be looked at differently. They're going to be like, you know.
Yeah, like, he stayed around so long that he changed the whole story on himself.
Yeah, they're going to be like, he's just always been such a smart fighter and this and that, and that's why he's been able to last this long. It's definitely going to change. But even George Foreman, who tried to fight when he was 90, is saying that he think Bernard should hang it up. Basically, not, you know, because he is winning, but he said he should hang it up just so he doesn't. It's not his legacy that George Foreman is worried about. It's his health. And
yeah,
I think
great.
That's
yeah.
the greatest point that anybody has made
that's
so far. Because I really don't see his legacy being damaged. I think, you know, more people take notice of Bernard Hopkins now than, like Jimmy said, back then nobody was really checking for him like that. It was all about Roy Jones. But, yeah, he got to think about his health. Just because you're winning and dominating fights, you're still taking
blows to
the head. You know.
Because even beyond the blows to the head, what it takes for him to make weight has to be crazy. Because, yo, your metabolism isn't running the same as it was when you were younger. So for him to make weight, it's probably ridiculous. Like, that can't be healthy.
Not even that. Not even that, Jimmy. The thing about getting old that you have to understand, when you're in shape, even at the advanced age, 40s, even, I guess, hey, for Bernard, 50, it's not what you can do. It's the damage your body takes and the recovery. So you prepare, you get there, you can perform at a high level. Very impressive. Very impressive. But I believe there are other people that can do it. It's just the type of pounding and trauma your body takes. In your 20s, you bounce right back. Next day, probably same day, you're going out to the club. 30s, next week, you are it in a week. 40s, can't imagine, never got there. At 50 years old, it probably takes Bernard, no joke, it probably takes him 3 months to recover.
Yo, and Herschel Walker out there talking about he think he can play running back in the league.
To play running back though. And the thing is,
Herschel looks younger than he did when he played though.
Yeah, they're stretching people.
Bernard is probably like 20 years my senior, and I know it. There's no way he gets out of bed fine. Like, yo, if I run to a full court at this point, and I'm not saying I'm nowhere near in the shape he is, but still, yo, just from an age standpoint, like, B. Austin, you got to be right. How can he fight?
Yo,
like,
Jimmy,
you know,
just took
a
lot
fight?
Of years off his life.
Yeah, no, I'm funny. But what I'm saying is this, though. Like,
Jimmy's trying to make our female listeners think.
You already know. Yo, how does this dude fight? Like, I have to figure out how much time is in between his last couple fights. Because, B. Austin, you may be right. It may take him 3 months just to, like, get out of bed. And, like, so it can't be healthy to go
start
through this over and over again. You know what I mean? To keep training, make weight, then dance for 12 rounds or whatever.
I don't know about you, brothers, but I actually still do play ball about 3 times a week, and it takes me 2 days to get to the next game. I can't play back-to-back. I can't do it.
Yo, that's what I'm saying. Like, yo, but for him to make weight, he has to do a lot more than run a game of hoops. Like, He has to, like, make – he's fighting at a light heavyweight. And
yo,
Bernard,
me and
I'm
Austin,
talking about 6 foot.
Me and Austin played ball last year on Father's Day against some teenagers. And I was I limped around for, like, the next 3 months, and I ain't played since.
You ain't playing defense. You start cherry-picking. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you don't need D up no more when you get old. Like, yo.
Yeah. We just took advantage of the fact that these young boys can't shoot J's. We just backed off and let them shoot.
Yeah.
That's all you got to
do? No, we took advantage of the fact that it's stupid. Like, you can win because youngsters are stupid. It has nothing to do with your athletic prowess. He's like,
With us being, like, 75% less athletic than we were in our prime, we still beat these teenagers who play ball at their high school because they're just stupid.
When I play ball now, I play that Patrick Beverly defense. I don't defend. I just hack you, yo. Like, get me with all kinds of parts. Like, yeah, old head was grabbing me. Like, it ain't about defense no more, yo. It's about you not blow by me, yo. You know what I mean?
Yo, Bernard, I respect you. You're a dude that I love to root for. I love your career, man. Yo, do me a favor. Since you lied to your mom, you told your mom you wasn't going to fight after she passed on. Yo, don't lie
that
to me.
10 years ago. That was 10 years
ago. You still calling my dad. Yo, that was like a decade ago. That's when Bush was in office.
Yo, the only fight that I want to see him have, I want to see him kill Floyd Mayweather, and it's not even possible for that to happen. Like, they would never fight. Retire, man. Retire.
Yeah.
Retire.
Be too difficult to meet at the weight that they would have to meet at, but he keeps saying
but. They probably wouldn't even hit each other. They both defensive fighters. They'd probably be like, no punches landed in the whole fight.
He might just wrestle. But two quick things I want to ask you guys about baseball before we start talking about the NBA and these playoffs. First of all, Albert Pujols, he just joined the 500 home run club. And actually, he became the first player ever to hit number 499 and number 500 in the same game. He did it against the Washington Nationals. 500. Now, we talk about the whole steroid thing all the time, and how the steroid era kind of changes the way people look at home runs. Does 500, is that an automatic bid to the Hall of Fame anymore? I know Pujols.
It's interesting you ask that because I thought about that. I thought about that when I saw that he hit 500 because back in the day, that was like automatic. It didn't matter what your batting average was. It didn't matter how many hits you got. Yo, it didn't matter how terrible of a fielder you were. If you hit 500, you were just going into the Hall of Fame. I don't know if that's the case no more, but I know it definitely was the case. I remember when Mike Schmidt hit 500, it was like, okay, stamp his ticket right now. And I hate Mike Schmidt, but that's another story for another day. But I don't know if it does, Dev. I really don't. Like, because of the steroid era.
How many seasons has Pujols played, Jimmy?
I don't mean to look it up. I don't know how many total seasons he has. But see, the thing about it is, B. Austin, in the past, that kind of didn't matter. Like, you could stay around for 40 years. It was like that number was just, like, something special about the number.
Yeah.
That's why I get Dev's question because it's like it's kind of
It might be. I mean, I think we all know that Pujols is a lock. But he's not just a lock because of the 500 home runs. Like,
for instance, the closest dude,
because some people, that's all they have. And the guy I'm about to bring up, who might be next to hit that mark, he is a dude where, when you look at his career, that metric is really the only thing he has going for him. Not that it's nothing, but Adam Dunn is about 443 right now. But, you know, he hits like two. I forgot what his batting average was, but I mean what it is, but it's not really that impressive. So the 440-something home runs is his claim to fame. And maybe in two or three seasons he'll get to 500. But it'll be difficult for me to think that Adam Dunn would be a lock to go into the Hall of Fame. Like Jim Thome, he's probably in. Pujols is a virtual lock. But, you know, like Jimmy said, I think because of the whole steroid
era. Frank Thomas got in. Frank Thomas got in.
Yeah, Frank. But he's another one. Like, I don't think that was Frank's only claim to fame. I think he was much more of an all-around player than Adam Dunn is right now. So
we'll see what happens because there's a short list of players who aren't in who have 500. I mean, of course, at the top of that list is Barry
steroid
Bonds.
Heads.
Yeah, Barry Bonds. Because Barry Bonds don't got over 500. Barry Bonds got over 700.
Yeah.
He on a whole, you know.
Sheesh.
He close to 800.
Sheesh.
I got like
no,
770 or something
go
like that.
There are guys, right? Like Gary Sheffield. Like Gary Sheffield is not in the Hall of Fame, is he? I don't believe so. Like, no, he's not. And now his career batting average was like .292. He also has 509 home runs, and he has like you know over 2,600 hits. But his name was mentioned in some of those reports as well, and he was you know also one of those guys who wasn't considered a good guy to the media. But you know, so he's not in. That's why I think the title. Manny Ramirez has over 500. Mark McGuire has over 500. Sosa has
Manny
over
not gone.
Sosa has over 600.
Manny got popped like twice.
You know what I mean?
And he ain't gone.
So what I'm saying
yeah.
is I don't know if that metric still holds the same amount of weight that it once held years past. That's all I was saying.
The guys you named were guys who had suspicion or, you know, people have some kind of proof that they were doing something. But I still think that they're going to affect other guys who come behind them. Like, okay,
yep.
he has 500. His name hasn't come up, but he was a part of that era. So how do we know, you know?
And to buttress your point, Dev, Jetty Mar's in our chat room. Shout out to Jetty Mar. He says Pujols would be a lot even without the 500. He says
because
Pujols,
his statistics.
His career batting average,
right.
over 300, 321. He has over 2,300 hits. He has over 500
doubles. That's why I was asking. That's why I brought up the name Adam Dunn. Like, because I just can't see him just because if he gets to 500, I can't see him or any of us saying, well, he's a lot, just like we're saying about Pujols. Adam Dunn's a different beast.
Yeah.
He's not Albert Pujols.
Yeah, things definitely have changed in terms of that metric, but I understand your question because I thought about that soon. That's the first thing I thought of.
I think that metric still holds a lot of weight and a lot of value. I just don't think it's the end-all, be-all anymore because of the steroid era. And so a guy like Adam Dunn, you know, the writers and pundits and folks that vote for you are going to look at his overall impact on the game and his overall impact on the teams he played on. And by all accounts,
saying they're going to do that or they should do that?
they're going to do that with him. And he's going to come up. Yeah,
he's
right.
Got
that's
more
what,
faith
that's
in baseball
saying.
Writers than
had,
we do, though.
I don't think he had any impact. And then the reason I was asking about the number of years for Pujols is it seems like he's at or above 30 home runs per season. I'm not sure
he
about
played,
that.
Yeah, he played since 2001. So, yeah, I mean, his average
is like 35 homers a year.
His average is definitely high, but I mean, you know, like Dev said, his numbers in general are just like you know phenomenal in terms of his career. So,
see, Adam Dunn bats like .238 in comparison to Pujols is like .321. So
it's
a lot of metrics that might hold him back. But yeah, I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on that whole thing since we have the newest member, the 26th member of the 500 Club.
It's still a great feat. It's an amazing feat.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys another question, but we'll save that again for next week. Actually, this question was from last week, but we keep running up against
it.
Yeah,
I already know what you're talking about. But anyway.
Yeah, so real quick before Jimmy takes us into this NBA talk, man, make sure y'all check out our website, like we always tell you to do, warroomsports.com. If you want to call in and speak to us about any of today's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you would like to speak.
Absolutely.
All right.
Now, let's have my favorite part of the show, which is the basketball talk. An NBA Wrap is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise, apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Go to our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the Fanatics logo. You can get NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB, NCAA gear, and more. Go get you that Albert Pujols t-shirt. You know, support him in his effort to go to the Hall of Fame. But just go right to warroomsports.com and click on that Fanatics logo and, you know, copy some gear. Gentlemen, it's time to talk basketball. All right, now, first story, let's talk about some coaches before we get into the actual playoffs. The first one is Rick Adelman. Rick Adelman retires after 23 years of coaching. My question to you gentlemen is, how will Coach Adelman be remembered in terms of his long career with the association?
Good coach. High-quality coach.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of wins in his career.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be one of those people that try to judge somebody strictly off championships because I don't think that's fair. I mean, he was coaching at certain teams that were very good, but he was coaching at times where there were, like, dynasties forming. Like, when he was in Sacramento, he had to face a Lakers team that was basically coming into its own as far as history is concerned. So, you know, you can't really knock him for that. I think Sacramento would have had a pretty good chance at being champions had the Lakers not been, you know, dominant at that time in the early
2000s. Yeah. Okay. I mean, so that's all you got on Coach Adelman?
I think that, you know, he's not in the elite level of coaches, but beneath him. How would you compare him to George Karl and Lenny Wilkins? Where would you rank
George
him?
George Karl is mad overrated anyway. He was in Portland when Michael Jordan and the Bulls were, you know, making history. So,
yeah.
Adelman was just – he was always at the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, the right place, but at the wrong time.
Well, shout out to Lenny Wilkins. I thought he was an amazing actor in the movie called The Mac. You know, so he was excellent in that. But in terms of a coach, I would rank him above both of the gentlemen. I would have Lenny Wilkins – I might even take Adelman over George Karl. I don't know. That's a tough one right there. But the one thing I do want to say is when looking at Coach Adelman's career, like coaches back in the day, like paid dues. I mean, you see guys now like Mark Jackson, you know, come off of being a broadcaster. Jason Kidd, you know, came out of playing, switched at halftime, and, you know, second half became a coach. But, yo, this dude started at, like, Chemakita Community College. He put it 6 years.
Yeah.
I don't even know what Chemakita is, yo. It's in Salem, Oregon. Like a regular community college. Took a bunch of you know, assistant jobs. Like, he's literally been coaching, like since the '60s. Since the '60s, like he put a lot of work in. If you look at a lot of these old school coaches, these dudes paid dues. So
six
shout out to Rick Adelman. Yeah, shout out to Rick Adelman. You know, he also was a player in the league, so he's a lifer in terms of being, you know, with the association. So, shout out to him. I don't think he's an all-time great coach, but he was a quality coach. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
How many wins does he have?
Let's see what his total win count is. You know, let's see if he...
See, but that's what I'm saying. When we think about it, because I think he's like eighth all time as far as
wins. I know his win percentage is like 58%. Dude.
It's just one of those things. You know how fans look at players and coaches these days. I mean, he was just a few bad breaks away from his narrative being totally different, from the perception
Absolutely.
Of him being totally different. You know what I'm saying? If he gets one of those championships in Portland. When they went up against the Bulls and the Pistons, you know, it's a different thing. If they beat the Lakers in a series where a lot of people think that the referees cheated the Kings anyway,
yeah,
I don't know how much
that
scratch off, but
1,042
if he gets that, it's a whole different.
1,042 victories.
Right, which puts him at like number eighth all time. Yeah. So you know, if he would have just gotten one or two of those championships, because he was in the mix for a championship a lot of times, I think he would be perceived a whole lot different, you know.
And that's what's crazy. One championship changes everything.
It's kind of the same as Phil Jackson being so overrated, or even Pat Riley being overrated, you know, because they're nowhere near in the league of like a Larry Brown or a Greg Popovich. But, you know, the fans will tell you that, you know, look at the 11 championships. So he's got to be the greatest coach to ever, you know, whatever. Same to a lesser degree for Pat Riley. A lot of these guys get overrated based on championship production.
Well, see, I would disagree with that.
I don't know if I would call those guys
overrated. With Phil Jackson and Pat Riley, I would disagree with that for a lot of different reasons. because Popovich, as great as a coach
you're
as
a Lakers
he is,
fan.
He outside of that, let's take Phil's body work with the Bulls before he even became a Lakers coach. I'm just saying I wouldn't call him overrated because he brought a lot to those teams. Those teams didn't win without Phil. Michael Jordan has zero rings without Phil. You know, Kobe has zero rings without Phil for all their greatness. Now, with that being said, when you look at a guy like, you know, the current coach of the year, and I think he's an amazing coach, but, you know, if you want to label Phil Jackson as having good talent, he didn't make himself coach until they got the number one pick to take Tim Duncan. So he's pretty much rode Tim Duncan's entire career. Show me what he's done without Duncan, you know, other than blow the finals last year by taking Duncan out when he shouldn't have. I mean, show me what he's done without Duncan. So I wouldn't even use that argument because I think he's a great coach, but all great coaches have talent, all of them, whether you're talking about Red Auerbach. I mean, the coach with the most wins in NBA history is Don
Larry
Nelson.
Brown. Larry Brown, he did have talent at certain stops.
Absolutely, he had talent. I mean, and Larry Brown's another – it's not too many coaches with 1,000 wins. There's a total – let's see, a total in terms of wins, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 – it's about – what's that? It's less than 10 coaches in NBA history with 1,000 wins. You got Don Nelson, Lenny Wilkins, Pat Riley, Jerry Sloan, Phil Jackson, Larry Brown, George – so you have, like, the best of the best up there with, in terms of 1,000 wins. So he's in that club. Would I rank him up there with a Phil Jackson or even a Jerry Sloan, who has over 1,000 wins? I don't know if I would do that. But where do you guys rank Don Nelson? And Don Nelson has the most.
Yeah.
Overrated.
When I think of guys like Don Nelson and George Karl, I think they're great coaches. But, you know, sometimes the same way we judge a player for either having or not having an all-around game, like I never saw George Karl and Don Nelson as coaches that stress defense. So they had, you know, great offensive teams, but they go out there on the defensive end. I mean, it's all about just outscoring you, which is the name of the game, basically. But, you know, it helps.
They only pay attention to one.
That's the Beyond approach to basketball, yo. They don't count. They don't count
nothing
else for points, but we're going to get them.
It helps if you can stop somebody from scoring every once in a while.
So,
I swear,
so
like,
we going
George
to,
Karl,
we going to eventually – are we going to eventually end up knocking Thibodeau for not caring what happens with regards to offense and just paying attention to defense?
Well,
I don't think it's that he doesn't care though. Like,
you know how to tell him.
He's dealing with the personnel that he's been dealt. You know, that's the hand he's been dealt, and his best offensive player keeps getting hurt, and you know then they want to trade away
his best offensive player.
Well, he is now, and that's kind of sad. So
yeah, man.
I don't think I can blame that on him.
Yeah, okay. But I definitely wouldn't take the shots at Pat and them, because Pat Riley, man, is an amazing coach. Like, you know, so I wouldn't say they were overrated based upon championships. I get your point though, how people take championships and put so much stock in them. But you know, it's a reason that they have championships in sports. With that being said, gentlemen, salute to Coach Adelman on his amazing career. You know, good luck to you in your future endeavors. But speaking of coaches, and speaking of Phil Jackson, who now runs the New York Knickerbockers, he fired Mike Woodson and everybody else on their coaching staff. Phil Jackson is cleaning house.
Mm-hmm.
There were rumors that the owner, Dolan, tried to stop him from firing certain people. They already butted heads. But nonetheless, Phil got rid of everybody. Mike Woodson still gets to collect a check while not coaching. Do you think it's a good move for the Knicks to move forward, or what do you guys think about Mike Woodson?
No, they even got rid of Herb Williams. How long he been on that bench?
Yeah,
man,
they paid Mike Woodson for his silence. Because I actually did a little research.
He's saying a whole lot of nice stuff.
Their media policy, and the Knicks and Dolan will sue you and take away your dough if you talk about them in the media, which is why Larry Brown, when they fired him, lost out on that $40 million and only ended up collecting $18 million because he kept it funky. So they basically paid dude $3.8 million or $3.6 million to walk away and say nice things and don't tell what's going on in-house. So now with Phil, I don't think you can argue with what they paid him, and it's not even about him just being Phil Jackson. They paid him something crazy, like $50 million to do this. I think you have to allow him
to do it his way just based on the compensation. Not even just the name. I know the name factors into why he was paid that, but even going beyond the name and the track record, when you pay someone $50 million, then you have to give them full autonomy and authority to do whatever is necessary because it's a radical move. The fact that you're paying him $50 million is a radical move. So let's, you know, I think he's doing the only thing that he can do. There's nothing there. He also did his Zen Master thing with Carmelo, saying, you know, if Carmelo stays, great, we want him. But if he's not willing to take a pay cut and he goes, great, we're okay. You know, so he kind of diffused that whole situation and put the ball back in Melo's court. So Phil is making a lot of moves. He's making a lot of drastic moves, and I think I'm interested in seeing if the Knicks are back.
Walk to the left, that's, at you.
That's, I know. That's like the worst. That's like the worst quote in sports.
Yeah,
the Knicks are back.
I mean, at the end of the day, the way I look at it is this: we all question what could Phil do in taking that position. When you come in and the first thing you do is clean house, you're you know, making your presence felt and letting everybody know that you're running the show. So now, if they fail, you know, it falls on his lap. He's not going to fail with other people's people. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. I mean,
no excuses.
Let him do his thing. Exactly, exactly. Cause
yeah, Phil was out there trying to fire the hot dog vendors and everything. He's like, they add to the losing culture.
Could you imagine what that would do for his legacy within hoops if he were somehow able from that seat to bring the Knicks back to a championship team? I mean, this guy won as a player.
It's interesting, though, Jim.
You are God.
It's interesting, though, because, you know, nobody believes Phil. I'm not saying me, as in nobody. I'm just talking about everybody we hear. They swear that the move was made because Phil is going to end up on the bench somehow. But he's really, you know, he's actually trying to get Steve Kerr to take the job.
Yeah, I heard that,
and
too.
And that was interesting to me. But if you think about it, he's trying to get Steve Kerr in. I mean, that's somebody that won, what, five?
With him.
Championships under his watch, maybe three or four championships under his watch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's somebody who's going to come in and probably coach the team, at least the X's and O's.
It'd
part,
be a little Phil.
Like Phil
it'd
Jackson.
Be little
yeah,
Phil.
The Knicks
yeah,
will be
run
running
system.
The triangle. Yeah.
Exactly.
Will be
like, he's going to run his systems and do his thing. He's bringing in, like, you know, basically
exactly.
A little puppet. I'm going to sit up here
somebody,
and he's going
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Running my system down there. But what I'm saying
so
is,
he's
like,
not
going
to have to travel, but he's really going to be coaching the team.
This is why, like, Pat Riley is, like, heralded the way he is, because Pat Riley is a guy that, you know, in college put up buckets. Pat Riley averaged damn near 30 points in college, came in the league, changed it to being a role player, but won at that level. Won, you know, multiple championships with the Lakers, won with the Heat, went into the front office, won two more. You know, so it's like Phil Jackson
made the Knicks good.
Made the Knicks roll. Oh, he almost won a championship with the Knicks with a bunch of thugs. Like, so, you know, had Anthony Mason balling out of control, you know, shout out to Diamond D. That was a top video. But the thing is, Phil Jackson is going to put himself in, like, elite company. He's already in elite company, but imagine what that would do for him to win a championship with the Knickerbockers, yo.
Yo, Red Auerbach, you coming for that spot.
Yeah, no doubt. Anyway, so that's what's going on with the coaches. One last coach thing, which is the Coach of the Year award was given to Greg Popovich. I know that on our Facebook page, our Instagram page, our Twitter account, people were saying that it was a travesty for him to win. I didn't realize that Pop had this many people that disliked him. A lot of it was, you know, Chicago homers who wanted to see their coach win. But I saw a lot of shade thrown at Pop. Basically, they were hating
him. Yeah, like people like to – and somebody even compared him. This said this is like – I think it was Skyview Kevin saying this is like giving it to Bill Belichick. I'm like, yo, why are we punishing people for being consistently good?
What's wrong?
Like
he should have way more than three
Coach of the Year awards. Like, how are we punishing people for
America,
being good?
The adversity. As Jimmy likes to call it, America. Yo, they love to see a prodigal son story. They need to see adversity. They need to see you climb the ladder.
Story.
And the reason being is because they can relate to that. Because most of these peons are down in the dumpster. Looking
Damn.
To find a ladder to climb out of it. And Pop symbolizes a greatness that most people can't relate to. Most people can't relate to consistently winning. if you look at the Spurs organization, they're not relevant outside of their success on the court. So there's not a big marketing buzz around them. They really don't scout in the United States. They go off to Mars, Venus, and Jupiter to find players. They're an outlier. They're oddball. People can't relate to that. So then if you combine the fact they can't relate to Pop and his success, and then the fact that he's always on top and there's no pizzazz to that story. There's no climbing out of the ashes to glory. He's just always been on top. So that's something that people can't really mess with, so they take shots.
Yeah.
He's a victim of his success. He's a victim of
his success. My pick would have been Thibodeau, but I have zero problem with Greg Popovich winning the Coach of the Year. And, you know, some of the things that I heard, they're just ridiculous. I mean, somebody said to me, well, I mean, his team was just in the NBA Finals last year, so, you know, how is he the Coach of the Year? But think back to last year.
Huh?
Who the hell thought the Spurs were going to the Finals last year?
Who picked the Spurs to go to the Finals in the preseason?
Like, come on.
To me,
people
you can
give
go
up
watch
on that
on
team every year.
TV.com. You can go watch on warbensportstv.com when we talked about these different awards. I said Pop for that same reason that they used not to give it to him is how I did give it to him. I said, yo, for his team to bounce back after losing the finals the way they did, and it was his fault, let's be real, for them to come back and have 60 wins was amazing. And like Jenny Martin said in the chat room, the way he managed their time, no one on the Spurs averaged more than 27 minutes a game. So essentially Pop got the most out of his second unit. I heard that
the Spurs throughout the years have had as much talent as the Lakers. Whether you
I'm
agree with that or you don't agree with that.
I'm a Lakers fan, and that's BS. Now,
but think about the
your
core.
Point?
Think about the core, Jim. Think about their core. Like you said, like their core are past, you know, they're past their prime. They don't even play.
Their core are middle-aged,
you know, whole games.
And a French guy.
That's a hell of a coaching job, in my opinion.
It is, but here's the thing, Austin. To your point, and I agree. It's that people like to root for the underdog in this country, and it's always been that way. When Popovich was coming up, and the Lakers were the big bad guys, everybody rooted for them and rooted against Phil. At the time, Phil was the guy who always won, and Phil Jackson got like one Coach of the Year. He had 11 rings. He only won one Coach of the Year for that same reason. Like, yo, you start becoming a victim of your own success. Like, you're expected to win. Like, you know, it's more of a story if you don't win. So, you know, the same thing with Belichick. Like, you know, he's a victim of his own success at this point. They want to root for the underdog. I was telling Dev, we were talking last night, I was like, yo, the Coach of the Year award has become like the underdog award. They want to give it to a guy who, you know, made a team that usually stinks. Like, you get discredited for a continuing winning tradition. Like, it's kind of sad, but it is what it is, man. Pop did a hell of a coaching job this year.
Yeah.
This dude be giving his players time off in major games. Like, yo, they play Miami. Like, yo, you gonna sit down, yo.
Yo, how are they winning when their core players are middle-aged men? Like, yo, Manu looks like a hair core for men model. And Tim Duncan... Yo, Tim Duncan, all respect due to him, greatest power forward of all time. And the thing that I respect about Tim is Tim can look at a calendar and pick a game, and he goes in to the steam room. He gets his body limbered up, you know, no pause to that. And he'll come out, and he can give you 30, 14, and 3 on that one game. But then he's done for, like, the next 2 weeks. He can't average 23 or 24 and 14 and 2. He can give you that one game and go back in the time machine and shock the hell out of you, like, wow, where did this come from? But you can't depend on that night in and night out. So how does Pop get this squad that's built around old men to be so successful? Man, that alone is crazy. That's nuts to me. That's nuts.
Yo. The award is crazy because I'm looking down the list, and Red Auerbach, who the award is named after, only won it once. Phil Jackson only won it once. Pat Riley won it once as a Laker coach, but then he won it, you know, he won it again in New York, and he won it again in Miami. But you think about it, he got, four titles with the Lakers? He has four titles with the Lakers
only won it once, and the year that he won it was the year that he got fired after the season. So,
I remember
it's
that.
It's crazy, like, when you just look at the award,
they
like, Don Nelson
has
won
it
a few times.
You know, the underdog award. They should name it after Rudy as opposed to Auerbach.
Red Auerbach has, what, 10 championships as a coach?
Yeah.
And he has one. Phil Jackson has 11, and he has it one. It's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. You get penalized for being great. Like they should name it after Lucas. Like it should be called the Luca Plakia Award because it's about the underdog.
if it's all about the underdog, then it should have been Dwayne Casey or Jeff Hornacek. It shouldn't even
or
be
they can just the trophy. It could just be a mini version of the Rocky statue. It'd be the Rocky Award. So yeah, so that's crazy. Shout out to Pop, man. All y'all haters, y'all crazy. Pop deserved it. Even though that's not who I would have voted for, he still deserved it. I'm not mad at him.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
All y'all pie haters eat a sausage.
All right, let's talk about this award.
Joakim Noah was, yeah, he was unanimous.
Yeah, defensive player of the year went to Joakim Noah. I saw a little shade, but not as much. I saw a couple people riding for DeAndre Jordan.
Nene threw him some shade.
Nene be giving him that work.
Yeah, Nene.
No,
Nene turned out to like it. Nene turned out the lights. Damn shame. He turned the lights out on that.
Yeah, like Nene been going ballistic on him, man. I guess he saw that and was like, all right, watch this. And he trying to get a raise.
Nene said,
like,
welcome to City of God. Welcome to City
most
of
improved.
God.
Saw a Bulls fan say that DJ Augustine should have won most improved.
I did see some people riding for DeAndre Jordan, saying that they thought he should have won the award. Shout out to Reese. Me and Reese had a discussion about that. He thought that DeAndre Jordan should have won. Yo, that's not defense though, B. But anyway.
Oh, you mean defensive player of the year?
They say he should have won defensive player of the year over Joker.
Yeah, you can.
Most improved player has went to Goran Dragic.
You make your foul shots. And the other team got to score more.
I guess at that point you can justify everything being defense. Yo, Dev's favorite player in the league right now, one most improved player, Goran Dragic. That's not a bad pick. He wasn't my pick.
I didn't even pick him.
You know,
but yeah, I'm cool with it though. I'm definitely cool with it.
Yeah, I'm definitely cool with it. He got buckets, so he's
that's
the most improved player.
That's because he signed to your agency. That worked for the Spurs. If your name, if your name doesn't sound Eastern European, like you could have been a Slavic. Yo, Dev's not signing you to his agent.
Goran Dragic.
We'll wait till the other awards come out. You know, we'll talk about them online or what have you, but those are the ones that have already been announced. Now, let's jump into these playoffs. The playoffs are underway.
Mike Conley won the sportsmanship award.
FOH then. Chicago. Keep it right here with Chicago. Chicago trails Washington 0-2. Losing two home games. Are you guys shocked?
Trouble.
By that?
I did say when we did our preview, like I wouldn't be surprised to see the Wizards. I picked Chicago in six, but put it out there, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Wizards flip the script and win the series. Mm-hmm. But I'm shocked to see them take two games in Chicago. One game, I wouldn't be surprised about that, but to take both of them. I'm surprised, and as Jimmy said, man, watching, especially down the stretch, watching the Bulls down the stretch try to get a bucket when they absolutely need a bucket, it's disheartening, man. It's very sad to see this team try to get a bucket on demand.
They need Jimmy Dolan out there to do the Jimmy Dolan shake and bake because they have nobody that can get a shot, and it's brutal.
They'll play well,
terrible,
and then can't get a bucket for like the last 7 minutes of the game. Something stupid.
Yo, they depend on Joakim Noah to bring the ball up the court. He looks like an ostrich. Yo, shout out to him for being a point center. Yo, people don't realize how good Nene is because
he's hurt.
My man is he's always hurt. Yo, he is always hurt. But now that he has an opportunity to display what it really is, yo, Joakim is definitely deserving a defensive player of the year, but Nene said, I would disagree.
Not in the playoffs.
And I would disagree.
And a lot of what Nene is doing, though, is
he's shooting like a lot of 15, 16 footers mm-hmm. out there, and Noah, he won't go out there to challenge him. I guess he's trying to say you have to prove that you can hit it consistently. And through the first two games, he's been hitting it pretty consistently.
Yeah,
but
he gonna
it's
keep working.
A thing
he
where
keep
they're trying to
miss.
Pull
they
him away. Yeah, and then but then they know they're trying to pull Noah away from the basket, and you know he's not trying to bite, but at some point he's gonna have to because Nene is on fire out there. So
Nene out there looking like Detlef Schrempf. interesting though, because I did see Bill Simmons predicted when the playoffs started that the Eastern Finals would be like Washington and Miami, and people laughed at him, but. The way Washington is playing now, and it's good to see John Wall do his thing too, because I remember the middle of the season. Do you remember the middle of the season?
Yo.
People were killing him on our page because they were giving Kyrie Irving a blumpkin.
Not only were they killing him, Jimmy. Not only were they killing him, but they pushed me to be a John Wall supporter because people just acted like he was dog feces. Like, no, it's all about Kyrie Irving. It's amazing what Stancy Dribble can do. Like, if you have Stancy Dribble, and I'm a Kyrie fan, I like Kyrie, but They just pooped on John Wall. John Wall plays basketball the right way. My only indictment of him is stop dancing, shucking, and jiving and putting blackface on. Outside of that, like on the court, yo, he plays the right
I think the Wizards have a pretty good roster. I would venture to say that they have a better team than the Cavaliers. But at the same time, you know the Wizards have had this pretty good roster for the last couple of years, and it really didn't all come together. It didn't gel until he came back last season. You saw his impact.
It's him.
You saw how
that
team changed when he came back. And then
one year,
back into the fold, they're in the playoffs, and they're doing well in the playoffs.
See,
so you have to look at
about
his impact,
right?
Man. His impact is crazy.
People don't do that, and it's funny because I have arguments with people all the time about players in general. Like when they say, well, he does this, look at his numbers. But a lot of times numbers don't tell the whole story. When you watch a game, you can see someone's impact. John Wall can play a game, not make a shot, and still have an impact. The pressure that he puts on a defense, it gets people open shots. He may not get an assist, but his pressure that he puts on the other team's defense changes the complexion of the game. So he's definitely an impact player. And it's funny because we put that versus up between him and Kyrie Irving, and he got no props. I mean, he was getting pooped on. People were calling him a bum. And, you know, so it's good to see him kind of do his thing in the playoffs. And we also live in a society, by the way, B. Austin, where it's crazy.
Game
like,
one.
You're not allowed to root for two people. It's like you have to
that's true.
You have to like Jay-Z or Nas.
It's either
you've got to like this person. Yeah, I mean, you can't like more than one person. Like, the people try to pigeonhole you like, yo, it's one or the other.
John Wall will average double-digit assists at least three times in his career. I see him as a 19 and 12
as hell.
Guy. Yo, but well,
three seasons though? But why three seasons? I'm saying
because it's hard. It's hard to give to say that he's going to be
in three seasons.
More than three seasons of double digit assists. That's tough.
Difficult.
That's a lot of assists to get. That's a lot.
But the thing is, in game one, he nor Bradley Beal played that good of a game. That's when you kind of knew that the Bulls were in trouble because Washington got game one, and their great young backcourt didn't really do much. Like, Andre Miller came in and showed everybody why he's been so consistent over all the years. And the thing about the whole Andre Miller situation, I was surprised at how surprised Washington fans were when he came in and held it
down.
They
don't watch basketball.
I mean, you guys must not watch basketball, you know, outside of Washington, you know, prior to him coming here because that's what he does. That's what he has done for the bulk of his career. That is Andre Miller.
Andre Miller will embarrass you if you're a star guard and you get caught.
As DJ Augustine.
He will embarrass you.
Put it on his young show.
DJ
ain't no Washington fan.
He's a little guy.
My experience with Washington fans is if it's not about the Redskins, like, it doesn't matter. Like, yo, it's going to take the Wizards to, like, go to the finals for them to care. Like, it's – that's literally –
No, the Wizards bandwagon is getting crazy right now, the Wizards bandwagon. But
Yeah, but they'll probably show up to the Wizards game with Redskins jerseys on.
Because you'll see tomorrow night, it's going to be crazy up in there. And you're going to be like, where the hell all these people come from?
What do you think about Toronto and Brooklyn? I mean, you know, you got the old head team with the young boys. You got, you know, Drake rolling lint off himself in the middle of the game, front row.
What you got to say about Jay-Z in the broadcast?
That's why Toronto's going to lose.
Damn.
Drake is a part of all of it.
I think so far the series is kind of going how I expected the series to go. I don't know. Toronto is a team that I think a lot of people slept on going into the playoffs. Brooklyn even tanked to try to get that matchup, but it could come to backfire on them.
Toronto
the Paul
could be
Pierce
up 2-0,
Dad. Yeah,
yeah, what you just
the Paul Pierce factor, because in the first game, Paul Pierce, you know, did his late game
he bailed him
thing
out. Paul
that,
Pierce did his thing. That, if not for Paul
right.
Pierce, it'd be 2-0.
Game two, Paul Pierce couldn't buy a bucket. He got a couple late, but when it all came down to it, he even called his own team soft. So, you know, they got that. He's trying to take the Larry Bird approach, calling his team soft to see if it motivates him. So, I don't know. This is a series that's hard to call because you look at Brooklyn and how they played down the stretch and who they have on the team and their veteran presence. You think, you know, if they get the right matchups, they could go very far. But you have teams
yeah.
like Toronto, young teams that, you know, that they don't really want to run with. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Toronto's not really a fast pace. They're not like that Wizards, like John Wall darting up and down the court. But young Lay's going to give
yeah.
them problems.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry gets out there, and he sets the tempo and pushes the pace depending upon the opponent. And so against Brooklyn, they're trying to run. Kyle is having a hell of a season, all-star worthy season, all-NBA worthy season. He's going to be a problem. Although Deron Williams is playing a whole lot better than he was early on in the season, I think that Brooklyn will pull this series out based on experience, based on size, and then based on bench. I think that Sean Livingston presents a serious matchup problem, and he does so many things well that you don't see from a guard traditionally, but for a guard his size, you kind of expect it, and he just presents a matchup problem at 6'7". So he's kind
his
of
knees weren't, if his knees weren't jello, he'd be a superstar right now in this league.
Yo, he would be it. And so imagine that, Dev, now him running against the second unit. When he's a starter, he's okay. He's good. But against second unit guys and third unit guys, like he's a problem. So I think that they'll end up pulling it out. Joe Johnson can get hot, and when he gets hot, he gets hot. You know, so
yeah.
With that and Paul Pierce, I just think that Brooklyn will eventually overwhelm them. Although Toronto could win the series. They could win the series.
Joe Johnson get $120 million hot.
So that series is where we think it is. The next series in the Eastern Conference is no one is surprised by this one. This is the
yeah.
one team looks like they're in control. It's sort of like they like play the whole game and then turn it on at the end and win these games.
Yeah.
And we know what
I still
that
think
is. They're
a shame,
up 2-0.
Jim. I think the Miami-Charlotte series is a shame. I mean, I have Miami winning in 5, Charlotte getting 1 game at the most, but they can't do anything with an Al Jefferson, but with the foot injury, they're not going to have to do anything with Al Jefferson. So, you know, I say it's a shame from the standpoint where, you know, these young guys on Charlotte's team could have just used this series as their little coming out party, even though we all know they're going to get spanked. You know, they could give a better effort if their horse
Yo,
was
here's
healthy
crazy.
For the series, you know.
I've been watching basketball a long time, man, and it's something that people always say, oh, they're lucky. If you look at any dynasty or any team that's won multiple championships, they all have, like, a certain level of luck. That goes back to Lakers and Celtics.
Things
I mean,
sets up nice for the Heat.
The Bulls.
All the time.
The Bulls. But it seems that everything always seems to fall right for this team. I watch the games. It's like they let Charlotte sit around, right? And then, like, the fourth quarter will come, and then your boy LeBron come out. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
roll with us, cause you know we got it. Roll with us, cause you know we got it. We got it.
And like, you know, then the game is over. It's like I wasted my time watching the whole game because I didn't know the whole story, how it's going to go.
Yeah.
They do
kind of
seem like they're
coasting
to me.
I'm not going to talk about the series. I'm not going to talk about
Moving
it.
On.
I hate super teaming, and I don't want the Heat to win.
bottom line.
Yo, Miami might not lose a game into the finals.
It lines
yeah,
up
so
for
them,
man, all the time. Pacers stink now. That's lining up for the Heat.
Even in a win, the Pacers stink. Yo, Indiana and Atlanta is 1-1. Yo, and Indiana could literally be down 2-0 to Atlanta. They really could. Like, they really could be down 2-0 right now.
In game two, they turned it up in the second
half. They turned it up.
They played in the second half of that game how I expected them to come out and play the whole game, too, especially since they lost game one. But they just, you know, reports have come out that on the eve of game one in a practice, Evan Turner and Lance Stephenson had a scuffle, came to blows.
Lord ready.
So it's I don't know, the team, last year you would say, well, at least I would, I can't speak for everybody else, I was giving the Pacers props for being such a tight-knit bunch. Like, they all seemed like they were cool. They seemed like they were friends. They were brothers. They had each other's backs. But a lot of that might have been, you know, Danny Granger may have been that glue. So even though he wasn't playing the minutes that he used to play, you know, a lot of people are giving him credit for being the glue of the team and the leader of the team. And who's ever stepped up to take his role is not really doing that good of a job. But I mean, it's Atlanta, so I think they'll be okay. So, but they need to.
Yeah.
I don't know. They need to hurry up and get it together.
Well, here's the thing, Dev. They've actually come out and said that. There have been players that said that, like, he was literally their leader. And remember, I was telling you guys last year that Paul George was basically his young boy, and the reason he was able to develop is because Granger went out and allowed him to do so. So it's like without him here, everything fell apart. And then you bring in Evan Turner, they probably don't even understand what he's saying. So it was like there's all kinds of issues going on with that team from a chemistry standpoint. I think a lot of times GMs and coaches don't put enough stock into chemistry. It's like they were rolling this season, and they overreached and made too many. Maybe they should have stayed put to try to win this chip.
I think people give too much credit to that deal being the chemistry breaker. I mean, they're like 500 since January. So some of the problems
started surfaced.
I mean,
the team has said
surfaced.
It, though. The team said it.
Yeah.
The people from the team that came out and said it.
Yeah, but some of the – I mean, but, you know, they're in excuse mode right now. So, but a lot
That's
of the –
That's true,
too. Some of the problems – not a lot of the problems. Some of the problems started to surface prior to the trade deadline. So I think the trade may have been reactionary in a lot of ways to Bird because he saw some things coming.
Three individuals on that team that are a problem. My man, Born Ready, the humility is gone. He's experiencing success, and he's acting like, you know, a young New York cat that plays at the Rucker. So, all that's starting to surface, the sense of entitlement. He's here now. Mm-hmm. He's an issue, and it's been documented that he's an issue. Roy Hibbert is
gone. People were saying, like,
Roy Hibbert,
this isn't the first fight he's been in on the team, and it won't be the last.
So he's a problem. Roy Hibbert is soft and complaining and gang-banging on Twitter, so he's a problem. And then Danny Granger is out here chasing after hoops and getting him pregnant. So you got
you
a
mean
lot
Paul George.
Going on.
Paul George.
I'm about to say, Danny Granger ain't there no more, B.
Yeah, my fault. Paul George. Paul George. You know I got CTE. So I think that's really those three things are indicators. And then Evan Turner, you know, he's trying to learn and feel his way. He's never played off the ball as much as he does in Indiana. So he's trying to figure it out. And he's got a little bit of an ego as well. So he's, you know, trying to figure out how to mesh.
Because he mentioned some games I'll get one shot, and some games I'll get 10 shots. So he's like, it's nothing consistent.
But that's the risk you take when you make an in season move like that, as opposed to waiting to the all. Like you made an in season move that you got guys trying to figure out their role in the playoffs. Anyway, let's move to the West. We have to be very fast. We don't have that much time left. Clippers and Golden State tied 1-1. Any surprises?
If you had asked me this after game one, I mean, if you'd asked me that after game one, I don't think I expected Golden State to come out and take the first game. You guys know, and I'm well documented, I do not believe in the Los Angeles Clippers. But I did pick them to win this particular series. But, it looks – I don't know. You can't really tell because they lose the first game, then they come out and smack them the second game. So
I can't get a gauge on what's going to happen, but at this point,
no,
I'm not
surprised.
I don't believe in the Clippers, so I'm not surprised if the negative happens for them. But I think that they'll still win it though.
All right,
Chris Paul has
bottom line.
Make it
a hamstring. Chris Paul has a hamstring he's dealing with. He said he's going to play game three.
He does. But the bottom line for the Dubs, the problem with the Warriors is Andrew Bogut. And if they had Andrew Bogut, they have an opportunity to make some noise and possibly win this series. Without Andrew Bogut, they can't win.
Live by, die by.
They can't win.
You know, they're good.
All right, now, San Antonio, Dallas, they both won up. I mean, it's their one-up. So what do you guys think about that series? Any surprises, or you figure it'd be go this way?
No,
I'm very surprised because, actually, I think Dallas should be up 2-0. They blew the first game.
Yeah.
And then they came out and smacked San Antonio. San Antonio, they kind of own that the little in-state rivalry in the last few years, but Dallas is proven to be, you know, competition right now.
So
San Antonio
is scared of nobody.
On the offensive
scared of nobody.
On the offensive
Defense,
he's scared of everybody.
All right, now we got OKC is tied one up with Memphis. Dev, you said this would be a long series. I thought it would be five or six games. I didn't even think it would go seven. You said seven. I said probably five because
I just thought six.
Yeah, but, you know, anyway, with that being said, everybody's in blame Russell Westbrook mode. What do you guys think about this series real fast?
OKC and six. Ain't nothing changed.
Okay.
Yeah, same sentiment. I just think that Memphis is going to give them much more of a problem than people thought. But
I mean,
when
to
it's
me,
all said
and
done,
it's all Russell Westbrook's fault.
We already knew that OKC had the advantage on the perimeter, and we knew Memphis had the advantage down low. Like, we all agreed on that. But Mike Conley is, like, you know, not playing great, but he's holding his own. He's playing well.
Especially in game two, he played pretty well.
Yeah, Tony Allen ain't afraid of nothing and no damn body. So, you know. Anyway, now, we got a couple minutes left before we get out of here, but here's a series that everybody's like, some people are in shock by. What do you guys think about Houston being down 0-2 to LaMarcus Aldridge? I mean, Portland.
This is the series. Remember, I told you guys this is the series I was most interested in because even though I did pick Houston to win the series, I thought that Portland had a good chance of beating them, and I was actually rooting for Portland to win the series because we talk about small markets and players that are already NBA star-level players, but a lot of people don't know that because they don't get to see him. I'm so glad that the country is getting to see LaMarcus Aldridge do people in night after night and Damian Lillard do what he does. But LaMarcus Aldridge cannot be stopped right now. Dwight Howard in game two after that first loss took it upon himself to totally embarrass Robin Lopez in the low post, but everybody was impressed except for Aldridge because he has 240-plus point games in this series, and he's killing them.
Yo, I actually picked Portland in five, and I was drawn, but I know that Houston is full of talent, and they're making me look great with my pick. They're making me look great because Portland isn't scared. You know, Lillard got him a nice contract, nice national commercial, so Portland's trying to have their coming out party. But, yo, Houston literally paired up two guys who have the same issue in terms of playing with heart. B. Austin, make it very brief because we got to roll.
Yo, I think that this is proof that just because a gentleman has a – or just because a person has a beard, that doesn't mean that he has balls. Just because Dwight has muscles doesn't mean that he'll show up for the full series. Shout out to LaMarcus Aldridge. And Portland's rotation, like 1 through 8, is tough. They've got a lot of good players, and they're a problem. Starting with LaMarcus Aldridge, he can't.
I wish we would have shipped with him. I want to talk about this series.
We could take this to Warren Sports TV. We got
to
roll. Shout out to LaMarcus Aldridge for repping for all the guys who are unathletic. Shout out to you, good brother. And everybody, thanks for joining us again in the War Room, good folks. Shout out to everybody in the chat room on Facebook, Twitter, everybody who called in. We appreciate it. Those we didn't get to, we apologize. Tune in next week, same time, same place, right here or on demand on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Make sure you check that out, WRSPN.com. Until then, enjoy your week, and we'll see you right back here next time. Catch our conversations on Facebook and Twitter at War Room Sports, and go to WarRoomSportsTV.com. for all of our video content. And again, that's WRSPN.com for our podcast network. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. And we'll see you chumps on top. R.I.P., Big.
Roll with us. You know we got it.
It's 3 years in a row. Beards, man. Get it together.
6 to 8.
Choke.
Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Des,
PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Sports are a secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.